The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're back, and there's so much conversation about the future of intercollegiate athletics. In fact, the Power 5 commissioners meeting today and tomorrow about the college football playoff. But what happens? And that is the subject we would like to delve into with our next guest. He is Stu Jackson, who is on his second day as commissioner of the WCC. Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us. I guess you haven't been there long enough to catch any flack. We appreciate you making time for us. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Paul, and thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, we hope you're a long-time guest and don't need to go back to calling. Hey, thank you for being here. And I want to ask you about this move. You're certainly familiar with the league. Years ago, you briefly participated in this. You have a great league. There's always teams that are factoring in many ways in all sports, but there's also a lot of uneasiness going on, as you are well aware. Tell us the state of your league right now.
Well, we're in a good state in terms of the conference overall, particularly in men's and women's basketball. You know, obviously having had multiple bids, you know, 9 of the last 10 years on the men's side, and I believe 7 of the last 9 on the women's side. But, you know, that's, you know, what's passed. I mean, going forward, it's going to be really key for us, Paul, that we continue to perform to help maintain our own visibility on the national landscape, particularly in the sport of basketball. And, you know, in this landscape, we've got to continue to stay nimble and be proactive in terms of looking at whether we expand, we realign, whether we stay where we are, depending on what makes sense.
And I realize this is not the forum, Commissioner, to get too deep into the details, but everyone is speculating about some of your current members, about what will happen. How do you, you've only been there 2 days, maybe not even 2 full days yet. So how do you deal with that? Because everywhere you go, the questions that we're asking from across the country are going to come up in the various locales.
Yeah, and that's fair, Paul. I mean, they're questions and, you know, speculation. The bottom line is, you know, if you're talking about a school like Gonzaga, it's no secret that they have been courted by other conferences since 2017. Yet here they are today, still a very significant member of the West Coast Conference. And we, you know, hope that they remain so. But as you know, I've discussed with our presidents, and I firmly believe this, whether there's realignment involving Gonzaga to another conference or not, the West Coast Conference has to continue, as I mentioned before, to look at realigning and making sure that our conference stays viable, visible, and healthy. And if that takes new members, that's what we'll seek to do.
Everyone is speculating about the Pac-12. How do you deal with that speculation, if you have to deal with it at all, knowing that you have members they're interested in? Maybe there are other ways to go down the road, as you alluded to. Where does the Pac-12 fit into everybody's mindset out there?
Well, they fit, you know, they loom large in terms of the media rights landscape, in terms of what deal, if any, they're able to cobble together, because the fallout from that deal will depend on whether or not schools in their conference decide to, you know, locate other places, or whether or not they stay, which has an effect, you know, not only on the WCC, but dare I say, conferences nationally. So it's a situation that none of us can control. And only the Pac-12 can, and we have to, with regards to their media rights deal, sit and wait.
Stu Jackson with us, the West Coast Conference Commissioner. You spent a long time in the front office at the NBA, and you saw tremendous growth, and a lot of eras come and go. From that experience, what have you taken and how do you apply it where you currently are?
No, it's a fair question. You know, I was very fortunate to, you know, work for a man that I regard even today as the best commissioner in sports, and that's David Stern. And as you mentioned, the growth that the NBA has experienced over the past, dare I say, 20 years has just been phenomenal. And, you know, as I have observed David and obviously worked alongside of him, you know, he always operated from a vantage point, Paul, of if it's not broken, break it and make it better. And, you know, the inference there is that you have to continue to evaluate and reevaluate what your plan is, what your strategic direction is based upon the landscape that you're a part of, in the NBA's case, professional sports, and in ours, collegiate athletics.
I don't remember someone of his position in the aftermath receiving the kind of tributes that you said now and others said at the time. What made him so unique, and why don't we see it more often?
What made him unique? There's nothing mysterious about it, Paul. My own opinion is he's one of the brightest men that I have ever been around. And he was supported by a team of extremely bright men. When you talk about the likes of a Russ Granick, the former deputy commissioner, or Joel Litfin, former president of operations for the NBA, and Adam Silver, who at that time was really in charge of, you know, the entertainment side of the house. And together, there was such strength in terms of identifying what the issues were, you know, strategic decision-making, database decisions that have led them to where they are today. And, you know, I was fortunate to play a hand in actually shaping the game, which today we see what the NBA game has become, and certainly extremely popular among fans and viewers.
It really is in terms of growth. I mean, there have been so many epitaphs written for the NBA, and they've all been wrong. Before you go, a thought or two on the current state, not of the conferences, but of the sport. We just had a couple of calls a minute ago about the transfer portal and what's going on in there, and NIL, and these are issues that are driving some people in intercollegiate athletics crazy. How do you approach it, and what solutions, if any? I realize you can't fix that much, but what would you like to see done in the future?
No, again, another fair question, Paul. I think with respect to the transfer portal, my own personal opinion, I'd never been a fan of, you know, permitting players to just opt out after a year. I think it sends the wrong message to not only student athletes, but, you know, young people during their formable years, period. But that, be it as it may, is something we can't control. But the one thing I'd like to see in the transfer portals, at least in basketball, is to change the portal entry date. Currently, where it sits at March 13th is at a time where you've got most of the schools sitting at home, but then you have a subset of schools that are actually preparing for and entering the NCAA tournament who do not have the bandwidth, the resources, or the time to really investigate the portal and give them a fair shot. But if you move that date a little bit later, perhaps in March or, you know, early April, that might give everybody a fighting chance to actually recruit student athletes. NIL, you know, is akin to the wild, wild west, Paul. You know, right now, unfortunately, the NCAA is in a very difficult position where they're unable to really provide any guidelines or legislation with respect to NIL. Now, what they do is that, you know, with individual NIL cases that are suspect, they will provide guidance and ultimately a ruling in those cases on the back end. But in terms of actually providing guidance and governance behind NIL. Right now, it's not there, and there are several schools of thought there. Some members of the NCAA feel, or excuse me, of Congress feel that they want to let the process or play out in the courts, which that could take a while. You know, President Baker was just hired at the NCAA, and I know that he is certainly focused on trying to gain consensus, you know, with respect to potential guardrails, you know, that the United States government would place around NIL. But right now, quite honestly, Paul, it's a mess. And, you know, but certainly to the benefit of student athletes, as it should be, their ability to actually receive income for their name, image, and likeness.
Just an extraordinary conversation on a second official day as a West Coast commissioner. Stu Jackson, many thanks. I hope we can continue this another day when maybe the subjects are a little more forward thinking and not looking back on how we got to here. Be well. Congratulations on the job.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
It was our pleasure to talk to the new commissioner. And we will take a break. We'll get an update on what's happening with Notre Dame's quarterback, one of the men competing for the job. He started part of last year. He's in the portal, and could he be headed south? We'll have that story in a few minutes.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and we appreciate you being here on a Tuesday afternoon. Bryson is up next. Hey, Bryson, you're on the air.
What's going on, General Feinbaum? How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just want to ask you about some predictions, particularly my Tennessee Volunteers. I was hoping you'd agree with me. You know, I live in the state of Tennessee, and I argue back and forth with, you know, fellow Tennessee fans, and, you know, we're all – I hear a lot that we should be competing for the East, you know, and I personally believe that a 9-3, maybe even an 8-4 season is not nowhere near an underachievement for Josh Heupel. I mean, before this year, I was 5 years old the last time Tennessee won 10 games in a football season, you know. So I think a 9-3 season, even 8-4, is not underachieving, you know.
Well, you may not think so, but I think it will be perceived that way based on – the trajectory of the program. And you can't think about what you just said, and I will agree. Tennessee has been in the desert longer than anyone could ever have predicted, but it just doesn't feel like that is the issue anymore because there's such alignment at the school with everyone on the same page, where that has not been the case in your adult lifetime.
Well, I think we have pushed chips in the table, and we very well could be a 10-2 football team this year. You know, we could take Alabama and Bryant Denny, and Georgia comes to Neyland, but I don't believe, you know, I suffer from something I call PTVS, post-traumatic vol syndrome. You know, I always expect the worst being a volunteer. And
Bryson, my advice to you would be to quit thinking like that, because I think things are different. That doesn't mean an 8-4 season will be a disaster. It's not going to be. But I think the program is in much better shape. So go ahead and let loose. Enjoy yourself. You're a Tennessee Vol. Act like it. Charles is up next in Georgia. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Paul. I'm an old sports writer, newspaper guy of many years ago. Johnny Ball, Billy Kennard, Charlie Shriver, people like that. Paul, this situation over at Alabama was really funny about a quarterback. They have quarterbacks. Nick Saban didn't just quit recruiting. The problem at Alabama, Paul, is their worry and their concern about what's going on at Auburn, where there is a guy now who has beaten them, who has taken them, you know, to the woodshed before. And they're worried about Hugh Freeze. They're not worried about quarterback. Quarterback at Alabama is a red herring. We know that. Saban has quarterbacks. He has players. But they're worried that Hugh Freeze has arrived on the plains, Paul, and he's about to take over the state of Alabama. What do you think of that situation?
Charles, I don't know when you last wrote a sports column. That's a very provocative take. Your column would be well displayed. I would not agree with it, though. I don't think the relationship between Alabama and Auburn has ever been lower in terms of the fear factor from Tuscaloosa to Auburn. I think they are fixated on one school and one school only, and it's the school in Athens, not the one in Auburn.
Well, it's the school where, you know, I live in Blakely, Georgia now, where we are a hotbed for both Georgia and Auburn. Paul, have you forgotten who Hugh Freeze has beaten?
Charles,
over the last several years?
You said something about a red herring. I think that's equally a red herring. I mean, I think that's an old, tired verse that Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban twice. Yeah, it was shocking. Nobody really saw it coming. However,
you reckon?
Hugh Freeze had an enormously talented team that the university ended up paying a terrific price for. I think that helped Hugh Freeze get the job. And I think Hugh Freeze, whether he had ever beaten Nick Saban or not, is a very good coach. I'm not stating that, but that happened in 14 and 15. That's no longer really an issue with Nick Saban. Nick Saban just doesn't have the talent that Georgia had. That's the problem right now. He's still got more talent than Auburn or pretty much anybody else.
Well, you know and I know that Freeze and guys like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, they are the two of the best offensive minds in this country. Kiffin had them on the ropes himself. He let them off. Paul, it's a new day. Freeze is going to take over the state of Alabama. Just watch it. Write it down. Say I said it on this date in history, Paul.
Well, Charles, thank you very much. And I think your nephew, Hugh Freeze, is going to be very happy with that phone call. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. God bless you, Paul.
Thank you.
I'd just like to ask you your thoughts on Auburn after their game, and I'll hang up and let you answer.
Yeah, I didn't come away thinking that Auburn was an immediate threat, unlike our former sports writer buddy in Blakeney, Georgia. I think they will be. But it starts with the most important position. I don't think Auburn has a quarterback that's capable of leading them to a great season. And I think Hugh Freeze has said as much. I think in 2 or 3 years, I think this program is going to be fantastic. I agreed with most of what our buddy said a minute ago, other than the fact that Nick Saban is staying up late at night worrying about Hugh Freeze. I do not believe that for a moment. Bill is up next. Hello, Bill. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I'm in my car. I'm in Birmingham, and my wife is probably cheerleader's very best friend. And I wanted to let you all know that about maybe 6 weeks ago, she took a fall and didn't think about it much then. And the other day, long story short, had an MRI, and it's going to be fine, but she wound up with a brain bleed.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's had the corrective surgery is, with a drip of outlet for it. And she's going to be in the hospital rehabbing for probably 4 or 5 more days, and then more than likely will be coming to our house to rehab. And so, you know, I know she has a big following, and she's just a dear friend. Want everybody to know that.
Well, in fact, when you tell her I want to talk to her off the air, but I won't bother until she's out of the hospital.
Sure.
But that is that's a serious thing. I'm so glad that they caught that, because that's the kind of thing you can ignore until it's too late.
And to be honest, and I don't think she'd mind if I tell you, I think she kind of ignored it at first. She's going to be fine. More than likely, she's listening to you. She's doing rehab in the hospital versus a rehab place. The alternative rehab was full, so they left her in the hospital. But she's going to be fine. I do want to throw out two other things, if I might.
Sure.
Number one, I know this isn't a country music radio station, but there's a song, a country song out, and the title is Tennessee Orange. And it's about a Georgia fan, female, who wrote the song, and she falls in love with this guy from Tennessee. And the punchline is, it's a sin in Georgia, but, you know, I'm Tennessee Orange through and through. I bet some of your callers have heard it. That's number two. Number one. Number two is, do you mind telling me what you've been reading lately? I'd be curious in that about that.
Yeah, Bill, let me, first of all, make sure you tell our friend, and I'll address the other question off the air. You're talking about Megan Maroney, and we had Megan on twice last fall when she wrote Tennessee Orange, which won, I think it won some type of CMA award for the best video from a new artist. We talked to her the second the song came out. Somebody sent it to us, and we immediately had her on. Then we had her on again in Athens, for her hometown, for the Tennessee-Georgia game. In fact, her mother and father came by and said hello to us during the show, and we're there when Megan appeared. Thank you very much for the call, and best to Dana. We will have a short break here. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we have been talking all day about a rumor that is now fact, that a young man at Notre Dame is in the portal. What do we know about Tyler Buchner? There is speculation that, well, I'll tell you what, let's let Tyler Horka talk about the speculation. He is with blueandgold.com. He used to cover State. And it's our first chance to talk to Tyler in a while. First of all, Tyler, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. I always appreciate you guys having me on. And anytime an opportunity like this arises where we can get some crosstalk with Notre Dame and the SEC in, I'm glad to do it.
Well, tell us, first of all, what you know, other than the obvious, that Tyler is in the portal, and what exactly does it mean? Can you we're having a little bit of difficulty with your shot, but tell us what you know.
Yeah, Tyler Buchner entered the transfer portal today, obviously, and that's just 3 days after he had a struggle in his blue-gold game in South Bend, the spring game. He was vastly outplayed by Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman was the better quarterback, and those two have been battling all spring to be Notre Dame's number one quarterback. And it just became evident that obviously the guy who started 45 times at Wake Forest, 110 touchdown passes, the most in the ACC, was the clear favorite to earn that job. And here we are 3 days later, Tyler Buchner is in the transfer portal. And you may have seen reports while you've been taking these calls on your show that Tyler Buchner is going to visit Alabama, Tommy Rees and Nick Saban and company down there in Tuscaloosa as early as tonight. At blueandgold.com, we can confirm those reports that he is expected to meet with Alabama today. And that's just how quickly things can go in college football these days. One day you're struggling on a field in a gold Notre Dame helmet, and a few days later, I mean, if this thing goes the way that Tyler Buchner wants it to, especially, he'd love to land at a place like Alabama. It's kind of trending that way.
Let's talk about what he put in his statement, and you explained it to me, not living in the portal as frequently as some people. Essentially, don't bother me. I know what I'm doing. What does that mean, as best you know? Or is it self-explanatory what it means? He's going to Tuscaloosa.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that it is signed, sealed, delivered. He's going to Alabama, but he obviously has his places that he wants to go, and Alabama is one of those. I mean, Tommy Rees is a guy who saw Tyler Buchner compete at one of these quarterback camps in the offseason, or, you know, back when Tyler Buchner was in high school. I want to say this is 2018, so maybe going into Buckner's junior year of high school, sophomore year of high school, and he hand-selected him. He said, this guy is going to be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame one day. That did kind of come to fruition. Tyler Buchner has started 3 games, but then Tommy Rees gets the chance to go down to Alabama, and it's a heck of an opportunity for him. And Notre Dame brings in Sam Hartman, like I mentioned earlier, and that's a heck of an opportunity for Notre Dame and Sam Hartman. You have all these moving pieces. I really think that Tommy Rees and Tyler Buchner, especially given – I mean, you guys watch Alabama football more than I do these days, but based on what I've read about Alabama's A-Day, their spring game, Alabama would love to welcome in some quarterbacks and maybe to try to facilitate that competition. And Tommy Rees and Tyler Buchner are so familiar with each other that, I mean, it's a match made in heaven.
Let's talk, Tyler, about Tyler Buchner. What's his backstory? I know he was heavily recruited coming, I believe, out of California. He chose Notre Dame, obviously. He started some games there last year, had some good moments until he got hurt. What's the read on him from South Bend?
Ironically, Alabama was one of the first schools to offer him a scholarship way back in 2018. Danny Enos, who's now at Arkansas, I believe, saw him at one of those camps. Again, and that's kind of the MO on him, is just he's a freak show of an athlete at the quarterback position, will blow you away with his speed. He's got enough size at about 6'2", 215, that he's a factor there as well. The one thing that we haven't seen from him is the ability to consistently pass the ball. He started 3 times for Notre Dame this past season. A shoulder injury actually kept him out of 10 games. He had had surgery on that. We didn't see him again until he's accounting for 5 touchdowns in the Gator Bowl. But if you go back to the Ohio State, the season opener, Ohio State game for Notre Dame, I mean, you know how big that game was. Tons of fanfare. It lived up to the billing in terms of ambiance and atmosphere and all of those things. But Notre Dame was so scared to do anything offensively with Tyler Buchner, their supposed QB1 at the helm, that he only ends up throwing the ball 18 times in that game, completes 10 of those passes, threw for less than 200 yards, didn't account for any touchdowns. So Notre Dame was a little bit limited offensively, and to win college football games in this era, you have to be able to throw the ball downfield. Tyler Buchner has not done that as a college quarterback. He's been hurt for an entire year, and then as a freshman, he was kind of a change of pace guy that you brought in when Jack Cohn was struggling for Notre Dame in 2021 and Notre Dame needed an offensive spark. You brought in Tyler Buchner to run the ball a little bit. So I would say this, it's interesting if he does end up at Alabama, because he's more Jake Coker, Blake Sims to me than he is Bryce Young, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, any of those types of guys. So you don't want to say Alabama would be regressing at quarterback, but he has not shown anything to say that he's going to be in New York someday for a Heisman Trophy finalist show or anything like that. So it's interesting where Alabama is and where Buchner is and all of these moving parts.
Tyler Horka, we obviously know the connection to Tommy Rees. He's from the West Coast, though. I think he's got family members either at Stanford, California, somewhere out there. I know Stanford was originally on his list. Is there any reason to believe, or what do people up there believe in terms of this being the first stop, but will there be others?
I think you can't rule out some other schools, but this is obviously the first stop. And he's kind of a private school type of kid. That's how he grew up. His sister is actually on her way, to Notre Dame. So they were supposed to reunite in South Bend for a couple of years and go to the same school. And now, obviously, he's thinking about taking this another direction. We still have to say that it was an interesting transfer portal announcement. Paul, you kind of alluded to this, where he left the door open to come back to Notre Dame. You don't really see – I mean, that's always the case. If these players don't find another stopping point, they can always come back. And it usually happens at positions other than quarterback. But to see a quarterback say, yeah, I still might come back to Notre Dame and they would welcome me with open arms – that would be a little awkward. I'm not going to lie. Put yourself in Tyler Buchner's shoes. That would be very awkward. But it seems like, to get back to your original question, Paul, it has to be a perfect situation for him to leave and for him to start anew somewhere. And that's what I get back to with Reese. I think that is the perfect situation. With how much Alabama has struggled at quarterback this offseason, with how well he knows Tommy Reese. I mean, Tommy Reese left his alma mater, yes, and that had to be very difficult for him. But he also left the guy that he thought he was going to work with for years at Notre Dame at quarterback, and that was Tyler Buchner. So for those two to potentially reunite this quickly, I mean, that says everything about college football and where it's at right now. You have to expect the unexpected.
Tyler, final question, purely speculative. Let's say he ends up at Alabama. You alluded a minute ago to Jay Coker and Blake Sims. Coker's well thought of because he played on a championship team, but considering what followed, those two pale. What would your expectation be for him at Alabama?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. And that's just because I mentioned the guys that he's following up. I mean, he is following up Tua and Jalen Hurts and Bryce Young, guys who went in the first round of the NFL draft. I know Jalen, I think, went in the second round, but Tua and Bryce Young might hear his name called before anybody else on Thursday in the NFL draft. Tyler Buchner is not exactly that guy to me. And I just think that Alabama, with everything that they've done in the last 10 years and following the sports path to this offensive explosion, and I mean, because look, 12 to 14 years ago when Nick Saban was first starting to rattle off national championships at Alabama, he wasn't doing it throwing the football, but now everyone's doing it throwing the football. Look what Georgia just did in the CFP. I don't know if Tyler Buchner is that kind of guy that can, you know, win a game that goes into the 40s and he's got to score with 2 minutes left on the clock and lead the game-winning touchdown. And that's all because he really hasn't played much at this level. Look, he threw for 4,400 yards his junior year of high school, which is the last year that he played because of COVID. That they shut everything down at the schools he was competing at in high school. But I mean, this is Alabama, and you've got to do it against SEC defenses. I'm not sure he's that guy. Let's put it this way. If he did go to Alabama and tomorrow we're talking about a three-way quarterback competition down there, I think that he would, you know, he'd have his hands full in competing with a couple of guys who really just struggled in the spring game. I'm not sure he'd come in and immediately be the starter. So you kind of read between the lines and put two and two together for his expectations.
Yeah, I wonder too, Tyler, just free associating here, and if this happens, there's no guarantee that Saban holds on to what he has, because if you're Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson, especially Milroe, you would have to take this pretty personally, as obviously Buchner has. Many thanks. Great to catch up with you again. I have a feeling we'll be talking again soon. Thank you very much, Tyler Horka, joining us from South Bend on the news that the Notre Dame quarterback heading to Alabama as we speak for a meeting with Tommy Reese and Nick Saban. We'll take a short break, and we're coming back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Todd is up next as we continue here Tuesday afternoon. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having my call. I hope you'll give me time to address these knuckleheads y'all got calling on this show. This Dale and this Charles from Georgia and Dale from Colorado and JK and that Matt Maggot from down there in Texas. But anyway, listen, I don't know what y'all are watching. I watch that spring game. Wasn't Ty Simpson playing against the number one defense?
I think so. Yeah.
And Paul, he's going to be the quarterback. Milroe, it's going to end up in a bad situation. Milroe's not going to be the quarterback. Ty Simpson, a lot better. The receivers need to catch a ball. But let me tell you something, Paul, we traditionally win national championships, so I don't think Dale from Colorado or Charles from Georgia and JK can help us. But let me tell you like this. All straight folks pull for Alabama, and the rest of them pull for Tennessee, Georgia, and Miami. So roll damn tide, JK.
Dustin is next in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Paul. I'm not quite sure how to follow that last comment.
Don't try, please. It's not possible.
Yeah. Wow. I have a brief comment and then a question, if you don't mind indulging me. Regarding the whole Alabama thing, whatever happens, I think these young men would do well to take a page from Jalen Hurts' playbook. You know, when things didn't work out exactly the way that he had planned, he didn't throw a fit. He didn't say it's unfair. He put his head down. He worked harder. He went to a program that could use him. And now, as much as it pains me to say it, as a Razorback, if there was a quarterback in the league that I had to build a team around right now, it would be Jalen Hurts. I mean, not only is he an amazing talent, but he carries himself with all the class and the integrity that you would want from a leader on and off the field. He's just amazing, an amazing player, and I've really grown to respect him. The question that I have for you, and I mean this very sincerely, do you ever understand a word that Matt or AC are saying? I can, like, once AC gets past that, you know, well, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call. I don't understand a word he says.
I understand that part, yeah. And Matt, I know when he says Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a foreign country and you don't know the language, but you know a couple of words?
Yes, like okay and Coca-Cola and maybe Budweiser. Yeah. But poor Matt, the guy, he sounds like he swallowed his phone. If he would just slow down, I would actually like to hear what he says sometimes. But it's garbled, and I can't make any sense of it. But anyway, I'm glad to know that we're both in the same boat and that I just wasn't having problems with my television set. So you guys have a good afternoon.
Thank you for saying that. Donald is up next in Florida. Hello, Donald.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, buddy? Florida State friend.
Oh, great.
Hey, man, listen, I was going to say, I heard your guy talking about Notre Dame's quarterback, you know, transferred and all, going to Alabama. That is not even going to help Alabama. That little kid, he's good, but he ain't good enough to be at a premier college that's going to, you know, play the talent that he's going to play against that, you know, in the SEC. I mean, he just ain't that good. And pretty much, I told you from day one, it's going to run through Tallahassee this year. So you might as well just get ready.
Cannot wait, Donald. Thank you for breaking that. I tell you what. Where am I here? What have I just done? Where's the whole I know, but I don't think we have enough time. Let me update a couple of things. We are we had a guest on a minute ago from Blue and Gold, who said Tyler Buchner heading to Tuscaloosa. There's also some speculation there may be some more visits. We are hoping to have some information on that coming up at the top of the hour. Suddenly, this backup quarterback at Notre Dame is causing a feeding frenzy. The fact that now his former coach is at Alabama, and apparently he wants his former quarterback. He was a highly regarded player coming out of school, missed his senior year because of COVID. There was no football in California. He missed most of last season, although he started the year as a starter. You heard from our last guest, good player, but you know, is he explosive? Is he what Alabama's had in recent years? Of course not. He compared him to Jake Coker.
and Blake Sims. Coker won a national championship. We come back right after this.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.